The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Baba Kama has been generously sponsored in our Daf Yomi program by our good friend and patron and charter member of our Daf Yomi class, Siyahu Ashar HaKohen and his dear wife, Rina, that Be'ezrat Hashem, they will have continued Hatzlacha, Harvaha, Bechol, Ma'aseh, Yedehem, Bri'ut, health, happiness, prosperity, and much nachat from their children. May they enjoy many years of Shalom Bayit, tranquility, and peace of mind. Amen ve'amen. Today's daf is being started in Nishmat. Morzikani Yosef ben Sarah, ve'marat Zekanati, Yafa bat Sarah. Rabbi Abraham ben Esther, Hashem tenihem began Eden. Amen. We begin today's daf on Chaf Aleph Amud Rishon, and we start from Shalach Le on the first line. Shalach Le Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda Le Mori Bar Mor. He sent to Mori Bar Mor Ba'amine Meravuna. So he said, do me a favor. Could you ask Ravuna the following halachic case? Tadar b'chaser chaverot shelo medarto. A person's living in his friend's field without his knowledge. Sarich la'alot osechar olo. Do you have to pay? Does he have to pay or not? Adehaken na'nafshed Ravuna. The interim Ravuna passed away. So therefore he was not able to get an answer. Amale rababa Ravuna. Hache Amar Abamari. So his son Rabba Baravuna said, this is what my father said, Meshemed Rav, in the name of Rav. Eno Sarich La'alot Lo Sechar. Number one, he told, you don't have to pay Sechar. Oh, and he said something else also. Asocher Bayit Mereuven. If a person rents, let's say, a house from Reuven, Ma'ale Sechar Lishim'on. He has to pay the rent to Shim'on. What is that talking? The Gemara says, Shimon, my advente. What did Shimon do? If you're renting the house of Reuven, what are you going to pay the rent to? Shimon. Haki kamar. V'nimsa bayit shel Shimon, ma'ale lo sachar. The case is talking about where you rented from Reuven, but then you realize the house really belongs to Shimon. So the Gemara is saying, you got to pay the rent to Shimon. But wait, these psakim seem contradictory. The first psak was, you're living in your friend's house without his knowledge, you don't have to pay him rent. Here, a person was living, second case, person is living in Reuven's house. He thinks it's Reuven's house. He finds out it's really Shimon's house. So he's got to give Shimon rent. What do you mean? That's a case of living in somebody else's house, Shalom Medapto, where the guy obviously didn't know you were living there, and there it's say, you gotta pay rent. But the first halakha said you don't. So the Gemara says, Tarte! You're saying two halakhic rulings that seem contradictory to each other. Look at Rashi, the way he explains. Look at Rashi, third line, Tarte! Bitmiya! Kilomar! Tarte mili ka'amar de satran hadade. He said two halakhot, Rav, that are contradictory. The case of, he took Shimon's house, but he rented it from Reuven, unbeknownst to Shimon. He's living in Shimon's house without Shimon knowing. He's got to pay him. Sarich la'alot oschar. And the Resha you told me, and sarich. So how do you square off the two psakim? So the Gemara answers very simply. I had the kaima le'agra, the lo kaima le'agra. It all depends. The case why he has to reimburse Shimon, because Shimon rents out the house. And therefore he's losing. Now we all agree, Zeneh Vezeh Hasid, you gotta reimburse him. The first case that he said, if you're living in your friend's house without his knowledge, you don't have to pay him, is took where anyway he wasn't renting it out. So since he wasn't renting it out, you're benefiting, but he's not losing out, therefore he doesn't have to reimburse him. So it all depends if the owner is losing out or not. If the owner of the house rents out usually. So he said, oh, this guy's living in the house over here now. No wonder why no customers are calling me up. Every time they walk by the house, they see somebody living in it. So I'm losing all these customers. It cost me a loss. They say, Hasir, you got to reimburse Shimon. But the other case is, the guy wasn't renting the house out anyway. It was abandoned. It was just sitting there. So you're going to living in the house. Not costing him anything. Therefore, the Gemara wants to say, Zeh ne'eh, ve'zeh lo chaser. you benefited, but no out of pocket to the person that you benefited from, therefore you do not have to pay. Comes given us Itman Nameh, we have a similar halakha. Amar Rabbi Chaya bar Abin Amar Rav, the name of Rav. Ve'amlila Amar Rabbi Chaya bar Abin Amar Rav Huna. Hadar b'chaser chavero shelo middato. Same case. You mean your friends feel without his knowledge. Eno sarik la'alot lo sachar. You do not have to pay him. Second ruling. V'asochir bayit b'bnei ha'ir. If you rented a house, let's say, from the people of the city, from the like the municipality, ma'ale sachar le'ba'alim. You have to pay the owners. So the Gemara says, "Ba'alim ma'yavetayu." What do you mean? Oh, says you borrowed, you rented it from the city. What do you mean? You got to pay the owners. It sounds like it's the city that owns it. But what are you paying the owners? Hakikamad v'nimseu lo ba'alim. You thought it was ownerless, so you lived in the house. Then all of a sudden you found out that there's owners. So ma'alim le'msachat. So you got to pay the owners' rent. So Gemara asks the same question. Tarte tu. Sakim that are contradictory, because again, you just told me if you're living in somebody's house without his knowledge, you don't have to pay. Now you were living in these owners' house without knowledge, and you say you do have to pay once you find out who the real owner is. Same answer. If the owner of the house was renting it, then you got to reimburse him. If he wasn't renting, you don't have to reimburse him. Simple logic. You cost the money. She says, I don't have a problem. You want to benefit without me losing out. I have no problem with that. But you want me to live in the house and I cost you money now because you could have rented it? Then already I have to reimburse you. Amar Rav Sechon Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav. Hadar b'chasar chavero shelo middato. Same case. He's living in his friend's house without his knowledge. En sarich la'alot lo sachar. He does not have to pay him. Why? Mishum shene'emar, because we have a pasuk in Yeshaya. Ush'iya Yukat Sha'ar. There's a certain shed, a certain demon. That demon is called She'iya. This demon usually attacks abandoned homes, that there's no life in those homes, there's no movement in those homes. So therefore, he's doing him a favor, which means you aren't living in the house. I did you a favor, because if I didn't come move into that abandoned house over there, the shed would have came in and ripped the house apart. So therefore, I made your house inhabited. So therefore, not right. Not going to go that far that you can charge him, but I'm not paying you any money because really I benefited you. Comes the Gemara and says another reason. Amar Mor Barabashe. Oh, first of all, we talk about this demon for a minute. Amar Mor Barabashe Lididi Hazili. I saw it. I saw this demon. Umenagah Kitura, and it damages like an ox. Like you have an ox running around the house. Rav Yosef Amar. Rav Yosef is a different reason. Beta miyateva yatif. When a person is living in a house, the house is settled, meaning the owner benefits that if anything goes wrong with the house, there's somebody in the house that'll tend to it. So therefore, the pipe bursts or something like that, if the owner's away, he has no idea that it happened. So by this guy living in the house, even though it's unbeknownst to the owner, he's you don't have to pay anything. I'm doing you a favor. Which means now I'm settling the house. I'm taking care of all the problems. My benayu. Well, what would be the difference between the first reason of shed and the second reason of maintenance? What's the difference? So the Gemara says, here's the difference. Ika benayu deka mishtamesh bebitzibe vitivna. Which means, let's say the original owner uses the house over here as storage. He uses it, let's say, for storage of his wood or his straw. And then his friend comes along and lives in it. If you're going to give me the shared reason doesn't apply. Because since it is inhabited, or at least it's being used for storage, Shadim are not going to come to this house. So the guy can't come along and say, I saved you from Shadim, man, you didn't save me from nothing. This house wasn't going to be demonized anyway because there was it's a storage. But if you go with the second reason of maintenance, that he's still benefiting him. Because just because he's doing it in a storage house, he doesn't go there that often. Therefore, when the guy moves in,
He could say, I don't got to pay you. I benefited you from the fact that I watched your house from any damage. So there'll be a nafka minah between the two reasons in a case where the house is being used as a place of storage. Comes the Gemara and continues, Ahu Gavra. Story. There was a guy. Debana afadna akil kaltadi yatme. He went, he built a house, or a mansion, on the property of orphans. The property was in a garbage dump. The garbage dump wasn't being used. Happened to be the orphans did own the land, but it wasn't being used again. It was an abandoned piece of land. This guy went, built a big mansion on the property of the Yetomim. Agbera Mahram Nachman Afadne Mine. Listen, the rabbi came along and repossessed the mansion until the guy was willing to pay to the Yetomim, right? To pay the rent or to pay compensation. So Gemara says, Lema Kasamar Nachman Hadar Bahasar Kadero Shalom Bendato Sarik La'alot Noschar. From here we see what? And if you're living in your friend's field without his knowledge, seems like this rabbi holds, you got to reimburse. Because really, the Yitomim were not at anything. The Yitomim, they weren't using the field anyway. So it's a classic case of Zenehene, Vezelo Hasir, and what do you care? And it must be from the fact that Rav Nachman told the owner, listen, he repossessed his property until he paid, must be owes that he owes rent, even though it's lo Hasir. Gemara says, nah, you don't know some information about this case. Which means, the original owners of this garbage dump property was owned by a group of people called the Karmenaim. That was the name of the people. And they would pay rent to the Yetomim. They were paying him a small rent. Oh, so what happened? The Yetomim were getting rent. Albeit they were getting a small rent, but they were getting rent from these Karmina'e people. Then what happened? This guy comes along now and builds a mansion. So these Karmina'e people moved out. And now the Yetomim lost that compensation they were getting from the original dwellers. So the rabbi told him, listen, go give something to the Yetomim. I'm not saying you have to give full rent, but give at least something. After all, by you building your house over here, they're losing out from their little rent that they used to get from these kind of names. So go compensate them. He didn't want to. Lo ashkach. The guy didn't pay attention. So the rabbi said, oh, Agbera Mahman, la'afadne mineh. So the rabbi seized the mansion until he would pay what they deserve. Which means it's not a case of zeneh bezeno hasir. It was hasir. Because they could have, you know, although it was a small loss, but a loss is a loss. Therefore the rabbi said, in this case over here, you can't say, oh, what were they doing with it anyway? They were only getting $50 a month. $50 a month, they were getting $50 a month. You cannot come along now and build a mansion and say, I want it for free, because they were only getting a small amount. No, pay, I'm not paying. You're not paying? He seized the mansion until he was willing to compensate them properly. Okay, so that is the Gemara on that subject. Now, we learned in our Mishnah, we have an animal that benefits in the way of shin. Shin means it eats fruit. What's the law of shin? Shin has to pay, according to the law, if it damages in hasira nizak, in the private property, nizik shalem, full damages. The animal ate. It's a normal way for animals to eat. And therefore, when it happens in the hasira nizak, in the private property, so he has to pay, the owner has to pay nizik shalem. However, if it eats that same fruit in the reshut harabim, the owners are exempt, but they have to pay mashin hinit. They have to pay not full damages, but they pay according to the benefit. Like we learned in the Gemara in the previous days, it means if let's say they ate expensive fruit, they don't have to pay for the expensive fruit. They would pay, let's say, if the animal ate straw, how much would it cost? Let's say they ate $100 worth of fruit. So the owner can the owner of that animal that ate can come along and say, listen, I'm not paying you $100. Listen, if I would feed my animal, I could feed him $20. I could feed him with straw. I'll pay you $20. Now again, if it was in the Hasid and Izak, he's got to pay the $100. You cannot start making deals. I would have fed him, I would have got a discount. You got to pay full value. But in outside Hasid and Izak, you pay ma shenehenit. Now, that being said, that's so long as it's done in the normal fashion. Anytime it eats in the normal fashion, that's called shin. However, shin is not hayav only in the Nizak's issue. In the public domain, it's patur from full payment, but you'd have to pay ma shenenit. However, if let's say in the public domain, this animal ate the food in an abnormal fashion. For example, abnormal fashion, it ate it in a mishuneh type of way, in a different type of way, which the Gemara will explain. What does it mean, different type of ways? Depends where exactly it stuck his head in and ate it. The method that he ate it was in a mishuneh type of way, in a different type of way. Anytime an animal damage is in a different type of way, that's called kidin. Huh. Kidin is goring. Goring is considered abnormal, at least for the first three times, and therefore the damage would be hatsi nizik, half damages. So, let's review. Shin b'rishuta nizak, nizik shalem. See you later. Nothing to talk about. It's the derech to eat. If it's done in the hasid nizak, full payment. If it's done outside of the rishuta nizak, it depends. If it was done in a normal way, well, you can't tell me to pay nizik shalem. I know the rules. Only rishuta nizak. All right, but pay me at least my shenehenit, what it benefited. Not exactly what it ate, maybe, but discounted a little. Fine. But if it ate it outside of the tzedakah in an abnormal way, then already I don't have to pay even my shenehenit. I can pay you hatsi nizik. I pay you half damages like kidin. That's basically the rules. Now we start. Ketzad mishalemet my shenehenit. Oh, so it said, if it ate it, I'm just paraphrasing Mishnah for you now. If it ate in the Rehava, Rehava Shlin is the courtyard of the city, Rishut Rabin. It ate regular, just ate regular. Then you got to pay Mashinin, you got to pay what it benefited. However, if it stuck its head in the side streets, stuck its head into the alleys and the side streets over there, then already Rashi understood that's not normal. And therefore you don't have to pay Mashinenit, when it benefited, all you have to pay is Hatsi Nezik like Kerin. Again, we're not discussing where it's in the Rishut HaNizak. If it's in the Rishut HaNizak, there's nothing to talk about. You have the public domain, that's the Rehava Shlin. And then you have like a side street. So if the animal stuck its head in the side street area, then already it's considered a Shinui. Therefore, he has to pay Mashinezika, which is, according to Rashi, at least Kerin. There's two ways to learn Rashi over here. We're learning Rashi the way I explained it to you. Okay. Amar Rav. Rav said, "Ubemachazeret." It's talking about over here where the animal turned its head, mahazeret, lahazir. It was walking in the public domain, and what happened? It turned its head and ate from the side street. That's already a not normal way to eat. Therefore, he only has to pay half this. Ushmuel amar afilu mahazeret name patur. Shmuel says, even if he turned his head and ate from the side street, he's also patur. Why? Because, according to Shmuel, he looks at where the animal is. The animal is in Rishut Rabim, so therefore it's like he ate in Rishut Rabim. And eating in Rishut Rabim is considered the normal way, and shen in Rishut Rabim is patur legamri. Let's look again. The animal's in the Rishut Rabim. Stuck its head in sideways, it went in, it ate over there. So Rav is very simple. That's not normal. Therefore what? Hatsi Nezik. Shmuel says, in that case, that we call that normal still. How do you call that normal? Because bottom line, where's the animal standing? The animal's standing in the public domain? Okay, it stuck its head in and all that, it's normal. Shin in the public domain, you don't have to pay. Right. Therefore, you're going to be patur, which means we don't look at it as a case of kidin. That's the machlokes Rav and Shmuel. That's the way that she explains. V'shin b'shut rabimu. Therefore, it'll pay what it benefits. It doesn't have to pay hatsi nezik. It'll pay what it benefits. Of course, you always have to pay. The guy's never going to get off the hook totally. either he's paying Nezik Shalem in the Reshut Arizat, or he's paying, if it's normal way, Mashineni, or if it's not the normal way, he's going to pay Hatzi Nezik. One of three payments. Good. Oh, so could you give me a case, Shmuel, that you're going to tell me it's abnormal? Give me an abnormal case according to you. What's the case that's abnormal? So Gemara says, "Kegon deshepkatal rechava veazla vekama betzirei rechava." Oh, where he left the public domain and he walked totally into the side street area. So where he's eating totally in the side street area, that's already a shinui. That's already abnormal. As long as his whole body is in the area of private of the side street, it's not normal for an animal to do that. But as long as the animal is in the public domain and all just turns his head, Shmuel says that's considered still normal. Therefore, chin b'reshut rabim kedarko. Therefore, you have to pay ma shezik al garashi. And she says, v'kama b'tzidei rechava. It's not the way of oxen to go there. It's like the Shut Rabim. Therefore, it's considered he ate in a Mishune type of way, and therefore he has to pay like Todav Kerin. That's the way we're learning in Nashi, Todav Kerin. Exactly. Oh, some learned this Rav and Shmuel back and forth independently. That what? Rav Amar Hayevet. Oh, sorry. Mahazeret. Stop. Mahazeret. You have an animal standing in Shut Rabim. Turns its head into the side street over the Mahlok. Rav Amar Hayevet. Ushmuel Amar Petura. Now again, let's review the Shitote. Why does Rav say Hayav? Because Rav says that this is considered a Mishuneh. Mishuneh pays Keren, Meis, Hatzinezik. Shmuel says it's not Mishuneh because he's standing in the public domain. I don't care if he turned his head into the side tree. Therefore, it's considered Derech of Shen in the Reshut Rabim. You're Patur from Keren. But of course, you'll have to pay Mashinehenit. You'll have to pay the benefit that it had. Good. When Shmuel Mishalemet Mashinezik, Mashkatet, Mahayba. Oh! Shmuel, could you give me a case of Keren? Give me a case. The case of turning its head is not your case. Give me the case what's considered a Mishuneh that will pay the Keren. Hatsi Nezek. Gemara says, you go to Shavkal Erchava, Ve'azla Ve'kama B'tzidei Erchava. Same answer. Where the animal totally veered out of the public domain and went into the side street area, that already is Keren. That's already not the normal way of damaging of eating, because it went on the side, he totally, the animal standing there, therefore he pays Hatsi Nezek. One more question, the Gemara says, Mativ Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. What do you mean, I have a question? Mepetach Hayachanut. The animal's walking down the street, and it starts eating from the
store.
From the store. From the storefront. The guy's fruit in front of the store. Starts to eat from the store. Mishalemit Mashinehenit. Pays what it benefited. Well, first of all, you're not paying full price because it was in the public domain. It's not in Hasid and Izak. So you're paying much need. Hechi mashka atle. What's the case? Pshita b'machazeret ka'amar. Must be the case is talking where it was walking in the shoot and it turned its head. That's what it does. It turned its head and started to eat the fruit that was in the store. Oh, Mashinehenit, it pays in Mashizika. No, that's a question according to Rav. Because you, Rav, said that when it turns its head, it's Mishuneh. Now, we can only assume the case of the store is he's walking in Shut Rabim. The store is on his left, let's say. He turns his head and he starts to eat. According to you, Rav, the payment should be Hatzi Nezek. Because he turned. However, the deed of the Mishnah is, no, you have to pay what you benefited. That sounds like it's the normal derech. How does Rav reconcile that? Gemara said, no problem. But it's like, ask the question, and he answered the question. Dekaima bekeren zavit. The case is talking where the store is at the corner. When you want to look at the Rashi, Rashi tells you how the case is talking. You see, there's a mavui katan, there's a small alley that leads into a big alley, okay? And you see the Hanut, the store, is right at the edge where the small alley and the big alley meet. So what happens? The animal's walking, let's say, from the small alley, and it's walking straight. It doesn't have to turn. It hits the Hanut, it hits the store straight on. It's not like it had to turn its head. And therefore, it's considered the derech. And that's what it says, Mashinehenit. I only said it, Rav says, when the animal's walking, it's got to go turn off into the side. That's kidding. That's Mishuneh. But this is not Mishuneh. He's walking straight from the Mavui Katan to the Mavui Gadol. The fruit stand is right in front of him. Therefore, you have to pay. Mashinehenit. Comes the Gemara and says, Ika de Amre. Mehazeret kule amma lo peligi de hayevet. And hazeret again is the case talking about where the animal was in the reshut harabim and it turned its head and ate from the side streets. So everybody agrees, according to this version, Rav and Shmuel will agree that what? Hayevet. That's considered what? Mishuneh. Therefore it's considered keren. Therefore you pay chatzi nezek. Ki peligi bemakse makom reshuto reshut harabim. We're talking about a case where a person has a field and he's makseh, part of his field, he designates part of his field to the reshut harabim and he puts fruit in that area, in that section over there. V'achi itmar amarav lo shena ela mahazeret. If it's the only time, he's going to be chayav, if the shor goes eats, is mahazeret, chayav keren, because it's mishuneh. Aval but if a person's makseh, reshut, his own reshut, he designates a piece of it to the reshut and he puts his fruit and the animal comes and eats it, petura. Ushmuel amar afilu makseh makom reshuto reshut rabim hayevet. And Shmuel is going to say no. If you designated a part of your reshut to the reshut rabim and put the fruit there, indeed the animal that ate it, the owner is going to be hayev. What's the mahalukat? What's the logic? Gemara explains lema bebor bereshuto kamepalgeh. The mahalukat between Rav and Shmuel must be, we can attribute it to another mahalukat that we have by a bor. We have a case of a bor. Normally, a bor is hayav b'reshut harabim. That's a regular case of a bor. Bor b'reshut harabim. But let's say you have a case of a bor b'reshuto. He makes a bor in his own domain, but then he's mafkir his reshut. He makes his reshut hefkir. So therefore, now his reshut becomes like a reshut harabim, but he wasn't mafkir his bor. So there's a machloket exactly how to look at a bor b'reshuto shefkir reshuto velo hefkir boro. What's the machloket? Rav de Amar Patur. Rav, in this case, of the shor that went and ate from the fruit over there in this property, because if you look at this, if you look at it, this fruit over here now becomes like a boar, so to speak. Why? Because it's dangerous now. Animals could come in, slip on it. This guy over here put his fruit in his own field. But then what? He was makseh, moved the fence a little, and he designated some of his field not to the reshut harabim. So now you have a bunch of fruit lying in the reshut harabim. Technically, it can be a dangerous thing for an animal that can come be walking in the reshut harabim and just slip on these animals. So it's a bor, technically. So the Gemara says, Rav damar patur. Why does Rav say if the animal eats this, it's patur? Because he holds kasabar bor b'reshuto chayav. Because he holds this is considered a bor. Because he holds, this is a case of mafkir reshuto. That's what he did. He designated a piece of his reshut to reshut harabim. It's like his mafkir is reshut. So mafkir reshuto velo boro is considered bor. We have a rule. Once already you put a nezek in the reshut harabim and somebody came and ate your nezek, lepatur. Because you started off as guilty. Again, these perot, how does Rav look at them? These perot are considered bor. Why is it considered bor? Because they caused the animal to slip. And where is this boar now? Well, he was mafkir is reshut. So it's considered like it's a boar, reshut harabim to a certain degree. And what's the law? The law says that when you create a damage, so you're guilty first. Now this animal comes and takes the fruit. You can't charge the owner of the animal for eating the fruit. On the contrary, you created the damage first, so it's your fault. So therefore, you're hayav now. You cannot get payment if the animal eats it. That's exactly right. No, actually, look at the third line from Rashi off the bottom. He explains that klal. Kol ha-mekalkelin b'reshut harabim. Anybody that's mekalkel in reshut harabim, sheziko hayavin, that if he would damage, he would be hayav l'shalem. For example, in this case, Rav said this is a boar. V'chol ha-mahzik b'hem zakha. But anybody that's mahzik b'hem is zokheh. So therefore, in this case over here, according to Rav, would this be a bor? Yes, absolutely. Therefore, since he would be hayab if he damaged, so if it gets damaged, meaning it gets gone, it gets eaten, he is going to be patur. That's Rav's logic. Ushmuel, amar hayab, you know what, kasabar, bor, b'shuto, patur. He holds that bottom line, this is a bor in your reshut. That even if you have a bor in your own domain, and you mafkir your domain, it's still considered a bor in your own reshut. And therefore, bor b'reshut is not hayav. So therefore, since you're not chayav in this case, bor, he holds it's not a considered case of bor, therefore he's going to come along and say you're going to be hayav. Why? Because it's considered reshut anizak. And therefore, reshut anizak is going to be hayav. Look at the bottom of the Shush Mursa, but patur hilkach. Be'emash, shakhalatam hayavet. Shereh, b'reshut asa. That's right. B'reshut arabim, nameh lohavi, she'en zeh derech elukha. It's not considered reshut arabim. And therefore, the guy was allowed to put his fruit over there. It's not a bor, according to Shmuel. It's not a bor, so therefore, he's going to be chayav. That's the machloket. Come on, let's know. Amalecha Rav, de'olam emalach. I can tell you, be'alma bor, b'reshuto patur. Again, get clarity. The case of his talking about where he designated a piece of his property to the Yeshut Rabim, and he put his fruit over there. Rav will tell you, generally speaking, I hold a bor in his own reshut. Like in a case like this, where you mefkir reshuton, you put a bor over there, really, how'd you patur? Oh, so then why if the animal eats it? Oh, you doesn't have to pay. Your logic was, since it's a bor, so you're guilty already, so now if somebody comes and eats it, you don't have to pay. But this case, you want to say, you're making a bor, but the shuton is patur. Oh, so then why in this case, then are you patur if he ate it? V'shani acha damar la, v'damar, because the mazik can say, lav kol kiminech te mekarevet lu leperotayich, reshut rabim, umehayevet lu letorai. I'm not interested in you. You're guilty. You put your fruit so close to the reshut rabim, he moved his fence even. And what? You don't expect my animal to eat it? It's your fault. Who asked you to put the fruit so close to the reshut rabim where it becomes accessible now for damages? Now my animal sees the fruit. He's enticed. He goes and eats it. And you want to charge me now for them? Look at the... Which because the guy over here, he designated a piece of his property to the reshut rabim. That means he made his fruit accessible. So now his fruit are accessible. It's like he's teasing the animal now. Now you want to come and tell me I should pay for this? Ushmuel amar be'alma bor b'reshuto hayav. Oh, and I can tell you the other way. Shmuel really holds, generally speaking, this would be considered a bor. Oh, so if it's considered a bor, he should be patur if he ate it. Why in this case is going to be hayav? Pishtama bor ika lememar lav adate. Because a normal pit, the mazik could come along and say, or the nizak, the guy that was damaged could come along and say, listen, my animal fell into the pit. He had no idea that there was a pit over there. It's your fault. He didn't notice the pit. Therefore, Shmuel will hold, generally speaking, that a bor birshuto is hayav because the animal can miss the pit and therefore he has to pay. Ela perot nika lememar lav adate. What are you going to come along and say? I didn't see the fruit. How has he knew? Which means you see the fruit in front of you. You're going to say, "Oh, I didn't see the fruit over there." The fruit are obvious. Which is, if you want to be a bor, okay, a guy could come along and say, "Listen, my animal didn't see the bor." That's why you can be hayab. But you cannot come along and say, I didn't see the fruit. The fruit is right in front of you. So therefore, he wants to come along and say, in economic court to Shmuel, if he eats it, he is going to be hayab. Okay, let's go now back to the din of mahazere. We learned mahazere means what? The animal is in the rechov ha'ir, and it turns its head, and goes eats something from the side streets over there. So the Gemara wants to say that this din of mahazere, is it considered Keren, and if it's a shinui, therefore it pays chatzinezik, or it's considered derech, and if it's the derech, will pay mashenehenit. Let us say that this is indeed a machloket amongst the tanaim. The tanya, achla mitoch al haba. The animal ate within the reshut rabim. Meshalemet mashenehenit. That's clear. Everybody agrees. Mitoch al haba, that's the reshut rabim. The animal pay, because shen is only chayav reshut anizak. If it ate b'chava, should I eat? It pays mashenehenit. Mashenehenit means discounted price. Oh, if it ate from the side streets,
Mashe Zika. Now, the Gemara is going to spin over here. At this point, we're learning Mitzidar Chava means the animal is totally in the side street. The animal is totally in the side street. That's a Shinui way of eating. That's eating on this area over here. Normally, it doesn't go to that area. So, therefore, it pays Mashe Zika because it's considered a kidding. Meshalem et Mashe Zika. Devre Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Good. Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Elazar Omrim. En Darka Le'echol. Ela Le'alech. Which means, sounds like it's not the derech for it to eat, but it's only the derech for it to walk. Now, what is that? What does that mean? So the Gemara is going to explain. Rabbi Yoseh, haynu tanakama. Rabbi Yoseh sounds like the same shita as tanakama. That's she, please. Rabbi Yoseh, haynu tanakama. The katz the gadalav atuch arhaba ka'e Rabbi Yoseh. Which is, everybody's going to hold that betuch arhaba. Everybody's going to hold that's considered mashe nehenit. No, I don't have an argument on that. The argument between or the subject of Rabbi Yoseh and Tanakama is going to be that they ate on the side street. That's going to be the subject over here. And as she says, the kasekat adalav atuch arhaba ke Rabbi Yoseh lebe'ed hoyva. That can't even be arbis da'achir. The mishut rabbi, everybody holds like that. Ela atzide lehaba ke the end darkal echod ela lech vezush achla hayeven, which means. Tanakama said what? If he eats on the side streets, only Mashe Hezika. And then the Yosef says, no, it's not the derech for it to go over there. Which was also what? Mashe Zika. Which means, bottom line, the Yosef Tanakama saying the same exact thing. Again, Tanakama said, side streets, Mashe Zika. The Yosef comes over and says, it's not the derech for it to walk over there. Huh. Thank you very much. It's not the derech to walk over there. Let's get it. It's Mashe Zika. So the Yosef Tanakama saying the same exact halakha. Ela mechazeret ikabinayu. Oh, maybe they're not saying the same thing. Maybe Tanakama is learning that what? The case is talking about where the whole animal is in the side street, in the Tzidere Hava. That's why it's considered Kerem. But if the animal was standing in the Rishut Rabim and then turned its head, then Tanakama is going to say, what? It'll pay Ma Shinehenit. And to that, Rabbi Yosef is coming to argue and say, no. That when it's standing in the Rishu, it's also considered a Shinui, and it'll pay Ma Shizika. Oh, so if we have a Ma'aluk Tanakama and Rabbi Yosef, standing in the Rehov and turning its head. Okay, Tanakama only said it's a Shinui when the whole animal is in the Tzidir. But if it's standing in the Rishu, Tarabim, and turned its head, that's considered a Shinui. And Rabbi Yosef is going to say, no, even that's considered Derech. But it's a shoot to Rabim, therefore you're going to pay Mashe Nehenit. Or Tanakama Savar Mechazeret Ami Meshalem Mashe Nehenit. The Rabbi Yosef Savar Meshalemet Ma Shezika. Oh, so we have a Machloket. Tana Iman Deslok. The Kol Ha'adma Mechazeret. Ike Rav, Ike Shmuel. Now, don't get them involved in the Mechazeret Machloket. They can hold either way on the Mechazeret Machloket. But that's not the subject over here. The Machloket between Tanakama and Rabbi Yosef is Ve'acha Bibi'er Bistea'acher Kamepalge. New Machloket. How to learn ubi er b'stei acher? How do we learn ubi er b'stei acher? Meaning, shin is only chayav b'reshut hanizak. The exclusion of what? The exclusion of reshut harabim. So the Gemara says, most of our ubi er b'stei acher v'lo b'reshut harabim. Very good, like we learned. Shin is only chayav nezik shalem b'reshut hanizak, but not b'reshut harabim. And Rabbi Yom HaRabbi Yosef, umor sabar ubi er b'stei acher v'lo b'reshut hamazik. Hadush. Really, Rabbi Yosef is going to hold... Shen is chayav ben b'reshut hanizak, ben b'reshut harabim, nezek shalem. Oh, new shita. But what do you mean? What does b'er b'stei acher mean? No, it's just coming to exclude that a shen is not going to be chayav b'reshut hamazik. Must b'reshut hamazik, which means if you put fruit in my field and my animal ate it, I'm going to be patur. Because that's right, that's my field over there. You put the fruit in my field, my animal ate it. So all it says, Bi'er b'steh acher, is the exclusion of Shor that ate in his own domain. B'shut mazik. And that's the boundary of B'yoseh and Tanakama. To what areas did they obligate Shor in? But nothing to do with Mahazeret. Mahazeret, each one can hold whatever they hold. Comes and says, come on. B'shut mazik. Lema pircha birshuti my bare. Do I need a pasuk to come and exclude that? Let the guy say, what is your fruit doing in my reshut? It's a sevara. Do I need a pasuk to come along and say, if you put fruit in my field and my animal ate it, that I'm off the hook? Of course I'm off the hook.
I can always come and tell you, who asked you to put your fruit in my field? Do I need a pasuk to go, ubi'ayir b'stei acher, o dafka, b'stav, v'lo b'shut ha-mazik, p'shita, I don't need a pasuk, I tell sevara. So you cannot tell me that they're arguing on a pasuk to tell me that what, that according to me you said, I need a pasuk to tell me that b'shut ha-mazik is patur. Ela de ilfa v'ravoshaya ika benayu. Okay, I can tell you that they're arguing on something else. On the argument of Ilfa and Rav Oshaya. Remember we had a machloka between Ilfa and Rav Oshaya. And Rav Oshaya on the previous Amud, we had a subject over there where, let's say an animal is walking in the Shuta Rabim, right? And it grabs and eats a fruit off the back of another animal. Look at Rashi. Right before the De Ilfa Rav Oshaya. The itma, the amar ilfa le'el, be'ema shepashta sabara. Right, it stuck out its neck. The achla me'al gabe chaberita, and ate fruit off its friend's back. Hayevet. Ode voshaya the amar be'ema kofetzet, because ilfa held that the back of an animal is considered a shuta nizak, and therefore he hayevet. And the voshaya held that if he was kofetzet, that if he jumped. Jumping as he was eating off the animal's back is going to be hayevet as well. Vachlam took a kupa and ate from the kupa also is going to be hayevet. Ika benayu. That's the nafkamina between these two shitot. Rabbi Meir savar mitok arachaba the olam patur. What did Rabbi Meir say? That's Tanakama of the Braita. If he ate betok arachaba in the middle of the field, in the middle of the shut rabim patur, we always said why. Because it's shut rabim, shein is not chayav shut rabim. You only pay mashen ehinit. But when he said patur, he meant in all cases. Even if he's eating off another animal's back, he's going to be considered patur. Ela lefi mashenit v'afilu b'deilfa v'moshaya. Even the gabedat, where he ate off the animal's back, where normally some shittot say, why eat off the animal's back is considered shut nizak. The Bimi is going to say, I hold you always patur. I don't look at the animal's back like the shut nizak. And the Bimi is going to say, no. I hold that if you ate off the animals, patur. But if you ate off the animals, back will be ayah. Which means all we did is we wanted to make a machloket by mahazeret. When the animal is in the shutabim and turned its head, you cannot make a machloket by mahazeret. We wanted to say, okay, so what's the machloket? So we said, maybe the machloket is in which domain are you hayav shin? And then we said, no, the machloket is if an animal's in the Shuta Rabim and eats off another animal's back, it's going to be chayav ona. But don't say the machloket Tana Kama and Bibi Eid is by mahazir. We made a different machloket between those two shitot. DT. Hakelev Agidi. Okay, you have a dog and you have a gidi. What's a gidi? A?
Goat.
Okay, the goat. Shekafsu mirosh agag. What did they do? They jumped off the roof. They jumped off the roof. Veshavru et the kelim. And they broke. They broke kelim. Meshalem nezek shalem. Wow, they pay full damages. It's considered normal. Which av would this be? This would be regel. Regel is considered darkan lelech ulhazik. Therefore, by them skipping off the roof and jumping on kelim and breaking them, that's considered todah of regel, and they would pay nezek shalem. Hakelev shenatal harara. Okay, you have a dog. Took a harara. We learned this case before. Took a coal. Not actually, it was a coal. It was a cake. At the bottom of the cake, there was a biscuit that had a coal on the bottom of it. Right. Burning fire. So what happened? It went into somebody else's field. It ate the biscuit. And then it lit the gadish. Okay, that's shem. Shem b'shut ha-nizak, m'shalem nezek. Shalem, it ate the biscuit. We have to see why chatzi nezek on the field. The chavurai burnt the field. Why does he only have to pay chatzi nezek? We will see in the Gemara. Tama de kafsu. The Gemara says the only reason why you pay nezek shalem is because it skipped. It jumped off the roof. And it's the derech for a dog to jump off the roof and break kelim. Han naflu patur. But if it fell off the roof and broke kelim, that's going to be considered patur. Alma kasavar tehilato b'fshi'a v'sofo be'ones patur. We have a case. When you start off as a posheya, you started off negligent, but in the end, you were honest. What's the example in this case over here? You left your animal on the roof. You're a posheya. You're leaving your animal on the roof. It's you didn't watch it. Which means if this animal jumps off the roof and breaks kelim, you're a posheya. You let your animal on the roof fall. But at the end, what happened? It fell. So falling is not the dere. So therefore, it ended up becoming honest. So how do you look at something that started off negligent but ended up honest. You understand why this case is like that? When I leave my animal on the roof, what am I considered? Pushaya. What are we doing? You're negligent. We're leaving the animal on the roof for. This animal, by the way, could jump off the roof very easily and break somebody's kelim. But you know what? You got lucky. In the end, he didn't jump off. What happened? He fell off. For us, out of my control. I can't control an animal from falling off. That's not the derech. So how do you look at Tehilato b'fshi'a v'sofo b'ora? So the Gemara wants to learn from our Mishnah. Must be a patur. Because our Mishnah said, only what if it jumped off the roof. But if it fell off the roof, sounds like you're going to be patur. Because Tehilato b'fshi'a v'sofo b'ora. Tanya lemeachem, if a bride to support this, a kelim v'gedi shekafsu mirosh agag v'shavru t'kirim mishalem nezik shalem. Naflu peturim, but if they fell, peturim. Ani chalde mandamatay lato b'fshi'a v'sofo be'ones patur. Good. That's quite the opinion that says if you start off as a poshet, then you end up with ones patur. El mandamar chayav meikalim emar. Oh, but how are you going to explain a quite the opinion that says if you start off b'fshi'a and you end up with ones chayav? How do you explain this brayta? Yavas kegon. The case is talking about where the is on the wall, the animal, the dog is on the wall, but what? The kelim are right next to the wall. So therefore, if he jumps, he would miss the kelim. Again, when the dog jumps, you have a wall, right? The only time that it'll hit the kelim, if the kelim are like recessed away from the wall a little, so when he jumps, he lands on the kelim. But if we're talking about a case where the kelim are right up against the wall, if he jumps, he's not going to hit it. So therefore, that rabbi will say he wasn't tahidato b'fshi'a in this case. Because even if he jumps, he wouldn't hit it. So therefore, tahidato be'ones, misogho be'ones. If he jumped, he would have missed it. Now that he fell and broke the kelim, that's honest. So therefore, he'll learn the case. It's not a tahidato b'fshi'a. It's tahidato be'ones, misogho. Be honest. Why is it tahidato be honest? Because even if he jumps, which is the derech, he's going to hit nothing. And therefore, now that he fell and hit, that's honest. So tahidato be honest, be honest. Dechi kafse bekfisa, because in the case like this, if he would jump, lo nafle alayhu, he would not land on the kelim. Vafidu tahidato b'fshi'a leka. Therefore, it's not even considered tahidato b'fshi'a. Amar Rav Zvid m'shemed Rava. Pa'amim shafidu naflu namehayav. Interesting. Sometimes you can have a case where it falls, which is not the derech, and still the owner is going to be hayav. Yeah, what's that case? Mashkachata bekotera'uwa. His animal or his dog is, let's say, on a wall that is dilapidated. It's a weak wall. So the Gemara says, "Mainihu." What's the case over here? De'ibaele le'asuke data, because the owner should have anticipated. De'nafil arhe. That what's going to happen? That the dog will. No, he'll knock a brick off the dilapidated wall, and therefore break the kelim. So he should have anticipated that. So the Gemara says, I don't understand, but sof lo nafal arche. Bottom line, a brick did not fall. V'nafal inhu, he fell. So therefore, it's a case of tahidato b'fshi'a v'sofo be'ones. Again. It was on a dilapidated wall. So what does the Gemara say? Oh, yeah. You know why? He should have anticipated that maybe the dog will kick a brick off and the brick will fall and break a keli. Okay, but bottom line, that didn't happen. What ended up happening? The dog itself fell off. So then what's that? That's a case of what? Ta'ilato b'fshi'a for the brick. V'sofo be'ones. So then Gemara comes along and says, Ta'ilato b'fshi'a v'sofo be'onesu. So therefore, that's back to the same machloket. How come you told me that in the case of nefila, everybody says you're going to be chayav? Why are you going to be chayav in this case? Be honest. Understand why? So Gemara says, lo tziricha bekotel tzar. Now, we're talking about over here a narrow wall. Where falling off such a wall is considered normal. So therefore, because you have to assume that what? Or could it be a brick is going to fall off because I'm not a brick? And even if he falls off, it's also b'shi'a. So it's b'shi'a, b'shi'a.